episode number 26, Saying Yes with Christine Penner Warden. Here we go, Tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I'm so glad you're a part of what's happening here on the Kidman Tribe. Hey, it's amazing what God can do with our yes. What is God calling you to do today, and what is He waiting on you to say yes to? It's about obedience, and when we say yes, God's able to work and do incredible things. Today's edition of the podcast is going to encourage you and challenge you to always say yes to God, even in the very challenging moments. My guest, Christine Penner Warden, is going to help challenge us. She is the North American Director for Raise Up Faith with a focus on equipping, coaching, resourcing, and training. Christie's a strategic leader who is passionate about discipling children, empowering leaders, and providing effective support to those who love and serve today's kids. She's a credentialed pastor. She has her engaged certificate in children's ministry through Bethel Seminary and is certified coach with INCM. She is an international speaker and writer, sharing her wonders and what-ifs with dreamers and doers alike, and speaks into some of the most incredible organizations such as David C. Cook, Ministry Spark, INCM, Kids Matter, and the Kidman community. She's also from Canada. She helps local churches across Canada do kids ministry better. From writing articles to hosting weekend-long workshops, Chrissy can generally be found somewhere in the future where the church is thriving and the contribution of every generation is the very definition of unity in one body. Chrissy is a wife, she's a mama bear to three mostly delightful cubs, and she found her own voice as an advocate for the silent church, the grand vision shared by children everywhere for a world where we're welcome, included, loved, and celebrated. I hope you're ready for the Kidman Tribe today. We're going to jump in with Chrissy right after this.
At 1230 Kids, we want to help you make Sunday happen. That's why we're creating hundreds of mini movies for you to download straight to your presentation software to use in your kids' worship experiences. These are short kids' videos that will reinforce your teaching. We have videos for holidays, we have videos on Bible characters, Bible stories, scripture, and more. All to help your kids engage with God's Word. It's all in the library at 1230kids.com. That's 1230kids.com.
Hello, Kidman Tribe. I'm your host, Jason Noble, and I have an incredible guest with me today, Chrissy Penner Warden. Welcome. I'm so glad
you're here. Thanks for having me.
Man, it is so great. A friend from the north, from Canada, love to just connect. It's so great. Tell us a little bit about you, what you're passionate about, and kind of what you're hoping to help leaders with today.
Yeah, so my name is Chrissy Penner Warden. I keep the Penner in there because that's part of my Mennonite heritage. I live in a teeny tiny Old Order Mennonite village.
Oh, wow.
I can blame the sleeves on the village, but not much else. I'm a bit of a curiosity around these parts. So I live in St. Jacobs, Ontario. I am married. I have three kids. And I would say that motherhood is what burdened me for kids ministry.
Wow.
That heart of a mama bear that just wants more, wants the most, and wants help raising her kids in the faith. And so that's what really upended my chair into ministry and into serving in the Kidman community. I'm a strategic leader. I love to see things grow.
Yes.
And I always believe that things in the kingdom are beautiful. And I want that for our kids. I want our kids to taste and see as early as they can. And sometimes that looks like inviting kids' leaders to taste and see so that they can pass it on and lead their kids to taste and see. So I would say in my current role as the North American Director of Raise Up Faith, I get to be a pastor of kids pastors.
I love that.
the best way to understand what I do is, and what Raise Up Faith is. Raise Up Faith is like the Mary Poppins carpet bag of kids ministry resourcing, and I get to be Mary Poppins. So
what a fun job. That's, I mean, how cool is that? You got to love Mary Poppins.
It's not even fair. Like, right? It's not even fair how much fun I have. It's, I love it. Like, I get it all. But we exist as an organization to inspire and equip generations to live Jesus-centered, joy-filled lives. So everything we do and all of the content and resourcing that we curate and create and gather in one imaginative space on this online platform, it all is meant to spark joy and lead you to Jesus.
Wow.
And so we spend our days imagining how to do it better, how to do it well in what we're doing, and how to help Kidman leaders get what they need, more than they need, everything they want, all in one space, so that they can get back to building those relationships so that kids and families can build relationships with Jesus.
That's great. So on the online platform, what's there? Like, what are leaders going to find when they go to the online platform? Yeah. Like, tell us a little bit about that and where to find it.
Sure. So if you go to raiseupfaith.com, you're going to find a page that's just for the leader primarily. So you'll find, you know, a great explanation of what the platform is, but then you'll see a tab called articles. That's where pastors and leaders in the Kidman space are writing thought leadership, wisdom pieces, next steps, how-tos that are just really meant in 8 to 10 minutes to give you a read that takes you that one next step in a certain subject or area. And awesome. Those articles actually land in your inbox when you sign up for the newsletter. So that piece of it is really for equipping and resourcing and delighting the Kidman leader. When you log in, and to be clear, you can sign up for a free forever account, credit card ever. So you can get an account and play. I call it a playground. I think it's probably more like a library, but noisy people like me don't do well in libraries. I do better.
So, I love your like definitions and words. It's so much fun. I want to come to your website right now.
So it's a playground, and on it, currently on the platform, there's approximately 10,000 digital assets.
Wow.
Over 1,800 lessons. And so you'll have a series, and within the series, you'll have a lesson. Within the lesson, you'll have leaders' notes, you'll have scripts, you'll have videos, games, crafts, activities, prayer experiences, music, and it breaks it down into chunks that you can then choose to use on Sunday. You can follow full scopes and sequences, or you can use it like Pinterest and put together your own lesson. If your lead pastor is going to preach on the book of John for 2 months, let's say, well, it would be really miraculous if your current scope and sequence lined up with that, oh, look, we're doing John for 2 months too. And sometimes we want that for our families to go together. Well, you could actually build out 2 months of lessons for a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night.
Yes.
Just by putting John in the search engine, and you'll get hundreds of hits.
Wow.
And then you can save and pull together, just like on Pinterest where you put a heart on something and then it shows up in, you know, on a certain pin board. That's what happens. You heart it, and then you go into My Resources, and you can build out a lesson that's exactly curated for the kids you love and serve.
I love that.
And if you have like an Easter egg hunt, oh my goodness, I saw the funniest thing, Jason. Someone put on Facebook recently, I guess we're doing an Easter potato hunt this year, kids. Just because
seriously. Oh my gosh, I love, you know, and what I'm passionate about and why we've got the Kidman Tribe podcast, one of the things is helping our leaders with great resources. And so I love to hear what you're focused on. And it's so much fun. Like, who doesn't want to go to the playground? Who doesn't have Mary Poppins in their life? I love it. So talk to me, because we're talking a little bit before we started about your journey to kids ministry and how God called you. And because I feel like it's a journey that what you took a little bit later in life. It wasn't like right out of college. And I love what you were talking about. There's a lot of Kidman leader on that same journey. Talk to us about what that looked like and kind of what you learned and what you walked through.
Sure. Yeah, I have rarely met a Kidman leader, a kids pastor who went into it on purpose out of high school.
Right.
They didn't know this is what they wanted to be when they grew up. Yeah. And I think, you know, the church has some ownership in that, of how we celebrate and how we view the roles of pastors, Kidman leaders, in the church and the contribution to the kingdom that that space holds. Once you're in the role, you really know the contribution. You feel the weight of the responsibility.
Yes.
But it was through a series of events at a church I was attending where I realized that I was dissatisfied as a parent. And so, you know, in some sort of customer service, like, my kids deserve better. Your kids deserve better. I, of course, made the terrible mistake of starting a conversation at a Tuesday morning playgroup about what are we going to do about this, you know?
Well, and how old were your kids?
My youngest was 2. So okay. 2, 4, and 7. So I had been a mom for a little bit at this point.
Were kind of the red lights flashing like, okay, my kids are not getting what they need. And so,
yes.
Okay.
And I didn't necessarily feel equipped, like going to small group for me and rehashing the Sunday message wasn't necessarily equipping me to lead them to. And so you do what you know, but I had a roundabout journey with Jesus. And so sometimes the highest value is just better than what I did. Like we can set a really low bar for our kids based on, well, as long as they don't do this. And so if I don't want you to have a roundabout journey to Jesus, if I don't want you to ever lose sight of the fact that he loves you, he is for you, you are known, you were made on purpose, you're knit in his image. If I want you to know that, well, how do I get that? Like, how do I do that?
Yeah.
And so I just started asking for more. And the problem is if you bring a problem without a solution, you're then tasked with figuring out the solution.
100%.
Ironically, the person I chose to strike up the conversation with had been tasked with, they had been left with the big tin of VBS for the summer.
Oh, wow. And
she left the room and came back with it and set it in front of me and said, you want to make a difference? Figure this out. And I took the lid off and it's kind of like one of those cans with a snake inside where you're like, oh no.
Right.
And
the snake doesn't jump until you're a week out from VBS.
Oh,
out of the box, and, right?
And I opened it and I just thought, absolutely not. Like that's not what happens next. I said, no, like I do not want to do this. And I pushed it back. She did it 3 weeks in a row until there was only one manual left in the can. And it was the director's manual.
Oh my goodness.
And she looked at me and she said, you care. You want to see change. You lead the thing. Tell us where you want to go. We will go with you. And she had assembled other moms that had similar feelings who had each taken one had taken the snack manual, one had taken the large group manual, one had taken worship, all the things that I didn't want to do anyway.
Like right, right.
And I was left with this leader's manual to direct the whole thing.
Wow.
And which, I thought,
from just talking to you, like that's where you're going to shine. I mean, you'll shine as the director. Like it's so great.
I didn't want to do the other things.
Right. Right.
I had worked in several different career paths where leadership was comfortable for me. I just had never been shown that there was a place for leaders like me in the church.
And did you see those different leadership paths all moving towards this culmination to get into ministry?
Well, probably after the third year of VBS, but I think it's fair to say, like when I was 5, I remember, and I was raised in the church. When I was 5, I remember kneeling by my bed and asking God why he would make me a girl if I'm not useful in the church. Because of the narrative around a woman's contribution to the body that I had learned.
Wow.
By 15, I was kicked out of the church for speaking up and asking questions. So I had a really unhealthy relationship with the church because my belief was that I was made wrong.
Wow. That
I was made with leadership in me. Like it's who I am. And my voice is who I, as raspy and weird. And like, when I listen to myself back, I just feel like I need to apologize. I'm like, I can't fix it. I can't make it sound
better. No, your voice is so great. God, your best gift is your voice.
It's, well, and ironically or intentionally, I ended up leaving high school and getting a degree in voice performance.
There you go.
I actually have a degree in opera.
Wow.
And when I look back at how closely Jesus walked with me through each of those hurts, each of those damaging moments, and still said, your voice is mine and it's the best thing I gave you. Wow. It's my best work in you. You will learn to use it.
So were you healed from that trauma when you stepped into ministry? Or did that come as you were walking through? Like, where did that moment? Because I mean, you're talking about some traumatic stuff. And I think
when
you step into ministry with trauma, thinking it's going to get fixed, and like God puts a spotlight on it and becomes even more challenging.
So I think what often, I think it happens more for women, and certainly for kids pastors and leaders, you know, who don't sit on the high seat, you know, they serve in less visible ministries. I think there's still the voice that says, why you, or what makes you think you're so special, or, and on my part, I would say that as I began, it was more that I was obedient. The reward came from obedience, not from confirmation for a long time.
Yeah.
And that my fear of disobeying Jesus was greater, my fear of the Lord. And it took me till my 40s to figure out what that meant.
Yeah.
But my fear of the Lord was greater than my fear of being told off.
Interesting. So
yeah.
In that process, all of those church hurts kind of that you brought to the table, did God just heal that as you were obedient? Or how did that, what did that look like?
It looked like constantly edifying what I felt I was called to do and say against what I believed God had me to do.
Yeah.
So my prayer over time in using my voice and speaking lots of places, I mean, for all the ways that I felt muted throughout my life in ministry or as a woman, the invitations kept coming. And so I had to pay attention to the fact that Jesus wasn't asking me to be quiet.
So good. Wow.
And so it, over time, my prayer wasn't God use it, because he uses everything. Like he can use anything. So like, that's like telling him how to do his job.
Right.
My
Which we're good prayer, at too. We like to tell God how to do his job.
we also love to tell it, like we ask, sometimes we ask really bad questions that start with why.
Yeah.
Because that we don't always get to know the why. We get to say yes. That's the invitation, is we get to say yes to the God of the universe. But my prayer over time, in that fear and in that, like, please don't let me get injured in this, right? Like, we can pray. That's a really small prayer. That's a really small prayer. My prayer morphed into Psalm 81:10, where David writes, "Open my mouth wide, Lord, and fill it."
Wow. I just love that.
The confidence that came from trusting that the Holy Spirit would fill my mouth, and that it wasn't on me to get it right. It was on me to say yes. The word that mattered in front of the Father was yes. All the words that come after belong to the Spirit. I submit my yes, and he takes it from there. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it, like what you say, but if it isn't submitted, if it isn't an obedient yes, if it's a yes to an opportunity instead of a yes to an invitation by God himself, it changes how you enter the room and how you stand in confidence that I know that I'm supposed to say this.
Well, and I think your yes is what makes the yoke lighter when you do have to, have to do the work. Because you're saying, God, like, I want to do this with you. I'm saying yes to you. And that's where that scripture that comes in that says, my yoke is light and my burden is my yoke is light and my burden is light. I know I messed that up. Yeah. It's my paraphrase, but like, I think
yoke is easy. The yoke is easy.
The yoke is easy. Yes.
And we roll our eyes.
Yep. Yep. And I don't think we get that until we say the yes. So any leader that's listening today and you feel like you've been muted and your voice doesn't matter, man, this is for you. Like, just say yes. Just say yes. And let God do the rest. And so from there, God took you leading VBS. And how did that journey into full-time ministry go?
Yeah. So that church actually had an opening and they for the kids ministry director, and they chose not to interview me for it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wait, you want to pay someone else to do all the things I've been doing? Which, of course, is probably, you know, the simplest way of saying it. And
we've all been there.
Right, where it's so confusing. And so I think what's important to know is when I turned 30, I had a newborn in my arms, and it was my firstborn. And I said to God, what have I done? Because having done a degree in opera, I had surrendered the idea of marriage and family. I thought, mm-hmm. if I'm going to travel the world, you can't have everything. I don't believe you can have it all. You make choices. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to go for this career, but that means I can't get married and have kids because I'll never be home. And so when my life evolved and I ended up married and now with a newborn in my hands, I said to God, what have I done? Yeah. And if I hadn't heard it like Morgan Freeman from a microphone, it would sound spectacularly impossible. But he said, you give me the next 10 years of your life and I will give you a life you cannot imagine for yourself.
Oh, wow.
So the problem was that job opportunity came just shy of my 39th birthday.
Wow.
And he said, I asked for 10.
Woo!
And so on my 39th birthday, I said, you've got 1 year. You made me a promise. You've got 1 year to make good on your promise.
I love it.
And what I realized over the course of that year, running hard after anything that could look like what God would have me to do with the way he wired me, the gifts he gave me, the talents, the skills, the jobs, the careers that I've had. In that year, I ran after anything that looked like goodness, absolutely anything.
Wow.
And what I realized at the end of that year is he didn't need 10 years. I did.
Yeah.
By the time I was within a month of my 40th birthday, I had three spectacular offers on the table, very different jobs. Only one of them was actually vocational in the church ministry. The others looked a lot like ministry to me and the way God could use me, but they weren't church gigs. One was a pastoral role.
Okay.
And in that moment, a month shy of my 40th birthday, that's when I realized God is not in the business of selling doorknobs. He doesn't open and shut doors. He gives you hands that turn doorknobs. He gives you a heart that seeks after his own will. And he gives you lavish abundance and says, what do you want to do?
Yeah. Yes.
Where do you want to go? Because the problem is, Jason, if we believe that God will only open one of the seven doors, that means he will only walk with us through one. This isn't let's make a deal where there's a goat behind a curtain and he goes, I told you.
I love
that. That's not who we serve. Even if we go through the wrong door or pull back the wrong curtain, he goes with us.
Yep. And he has a way of always leading us back to the path that he had laid out. I mean, if we're
absolutely, listen,
you know, and that's why I tell people like all the time, I don't like, if you feel like you made a mistake, God will bring you back to where you need to be. And just because you're having a hard time in ministry doesn't mean you made a mistake. And I think that's
right
too.
Yeah. And so I ended up saying yes to the thing that looked the hardest. And that was becoming a kids pastor at a church that I didn't attend. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have favor with the families. I didn't have any context, but it was the right yes. It was the yes that he had saved for me. They had posted the job and the job posting was closed by the time I applied. Someone had the audacity to call me and say, that church over there needs you. My kids have been to your VBS that you ran. That church needs you. And I'm like, there's no job posting. He's like, I don't care. I know they're hiring. If you don't, and no one says this to me, if you don't call them, I'll call them and tell them about you. I'm like, oh, hey, now that's not how this is going to go down.
Right.
So I had taught some computer stuff at the local college. So I knew actually how to find PDFs that have been pulled off the internet. You know how they say everything on the internet lives forever?
Yes.
It's not wrong. I found the job posting and flipped my resume. And actually the resume and the cover letter from that previous job that I didn't get an interview for, I rejigged it, sent it off, immediately got a reply that said, had I received this application even 10 minutes later, I would not have felt comfortable adding it to the pile. I'm heading into the hiring meeting now.
Oh my goodness. So like right on time.
Right on time.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. And that was like, the job description felt like something I could do. What I wasn't prepared for and what I couldn't see coming was the weight of that mantle that is the spiritual formation years of other people's tiny humans.
Mm.
And
I think that's the grace of God too, not letting
I never would have said yes.
Right, exactly. Like God only like shows you a little bit because he knows like what's ahead is going to be. So I think we have to be okay to just be able to see what we can see. And then as it comes, you know, because we wouldn't say yes if we saw the whole picture, I don't think.
Oh, that I absolutely agree with you.
And I think in the sometimes where we can't see, like God's going to do some incredible work in our lives. That's why he doesn't show us, because I think we'd say no and miss it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, coming under the weight of that mantle, the one thing I would say is it is for you. If it has been put on you, it is for you. If you feel it's about right sizing that weight, knowing the divine privilege of stewarding faith conversations with children.
Yes.
It's only weighty if you feel ill-equipped to manage it. But you know Jesus, you know the gospel, you know the value of the kingdom, and it is your honor to introduce kids to it.
Totally.
And it was a shift that took a few years, but it didn't get less weighty. It just felt, it went from being Saul's armor to the slingshot, right? Like it wasn't ill-fitting in that it wasn't a good idea for, like, that was a good idea for Saul to say, you should probably wear this.
Yep.
But for David to say, I just think it's the same giant in front of you, but the tools and the equipment have to be made for you. And he knows you. Your father knows you. He equipped you exactly the way you are for the thing he calls you to.
Well, and I think if your burden feels heavy, you have to go back to that. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because when you look at the oxen, and most of us don't ever look at that, but if you are trying to carry more of the load than God, than you're allowing God to carry, it's going to feel heavy. And
that's right.
You know, you can do ministry without God, but without his help. Like, I mean, and when I was a children's pastor, even now as a lead pastor, like I'll look at things and go, God, I don't know how you're going to solve this, but it's your problem, not mine. Like if we need volunteers, God, I go to you first. It's not, well, what can I do strategically? And what can I do? Like, well, no, Lord, show me, you carry the burden and show me what your plan is. And I'll go after you, you know? And I think from what I can tell, you're a type A, I'm a type A. I love to control things and love to tell God how to do things. And that's when the burden gets heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think we can, because many Kidman leaders find themselves called into it, not necessarily like choosing it for themselves or choosing a career path that leads to this, we can often find ourselves feeling ill-equipped or underprepared. And so we're voracious learners as a community. We are learners. We want more information all the time. And the truth is there's all kinds of resourcing and equipping out there to help you, for example, recruit volunteers better.
Yes.
But I would say to your point about going to Jesus with it first, it isn't, you know, God rained down volunteers from the sky. That isn't like, we don't need to be ridiculous about it. It's
right.
God, you have already wired someone in this community to serve these kids. Would you introduce them to me?
Yep.
I will manage them. I have what I need to do this well. Could you put me in front of the one you've already named?
Totally.
Could you put me in front of the one that just needs the invitation? And it changes how we find each other.
Totally. And it puts it back on God's shoulders. I mean, it's big enough. He's big enough to handle. It's funny. I was doing a kids camp once for our kids. We had about 600 kids coming, got up to Friday before we left on Monday, did not have a camp cook. Could you imagine? I mean, I was panicking. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? And nothing would work. So on Sunday night, I was in service. And it was back when we had Sunday night church. And I was just praying, like, God, show me who you want me to ask, right? And I went up to a lady, and he points her out and goes, this is who it is. I want you to ask her. She's in her 50s. Like, no, she's probably in her 40s. I'm like, she's never going to say yes. I suppose you're going tomorrow. And God says, well, why don't you try it? So I did. I went up and I said, you wouldn't believe this, but God put you on my heart. And she came back to me and she said, the Lord told me yesterday that anything Pastor Jason asked me to do, I'm supposed to do. And she said, yes, right on the spot. So she became my assistant, then became the children's pastor of the church when we left. So you just never know, like, what God can do if you'll just listen to him. And when you're yes, and then put it on his shoulders. Like what I'm walking away with on this today's podcast is just the power of saying yes. Like the power of saying yes. And I love what you said, own your no, don't let anybody else speak to it. You know, and I don't think we can speak to other leaders, you know, even in our ministry. How many times do we not ask them because we're afraid they're going to say no?
Yeah.
You know, or like they're high capacity leaders and they would never say yes to me. I mean, like, I think that power of yes is so important. And today I'm walking away with that again, just being reminded of like the power of yes is so incredible. So what would you say to leaders today that are facing decisions? How do you say yes? What do you, you know, how do you step into that?
So there's a few things that I've learned over time about where my yeses are.
Yeah.
And one of them is we need to know what the difference between saying yes to a task and saying yes to a calling is, right? Like if someone just needs a hand, that's a different yes. My yeses have even if and even when clauses. So if is a really important word to me. If in scripture is usually the last word uttered before the first step of obedience.
Oh, that's good.
So Esther says, if I perish, I perish. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, even if he does not spare us, we will serve no other. Jesus in the garden the night before he dies says, if this cup could be taken from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Mm.
And so I would look for your ifs, because if it's something you would do no matter what, that's how you start to be able to discern that God is upending your chair into the aisle, that it is that it is a piece that he's inviting you into. And it goes from obedience in a painful way of like, I can't not. That's a different posture of obedience to how could I not? He has invited me. He has invited me and I receive the information and I will go where he goes.
So
changing the posture of your yes is part of it. The other part of it is know what your gifts and strengths are.
Yes.
Know what your own core values are of where and when you say yes, and let those build walls of protection for your lane.
So good.
Because when you say yes to something that isn't for you, you have deprived someone else of the opportunity of even being invited.
So good. Yep.
It's important that you say yes to the things that are for you. And it's also important that you invite other people to say yes to things that are for them. Part of doing that for me is knowing how I'm wired, like being really self-aware. Yep. And I know that one of my spiritual gifts is not discernment.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
So, and not everybody has it. Like I might have wisdom or I might have prophecy or I might have intercession. There's all kinds of, God only gives good gifts. So like there are no booby prize gifts in the kingdom of heaven. But if you know that discernment isn't your MO, it isn't your default position, find people for whom it is and invite them close. So I have three people in my life that I know have the gift of discernment and they don't know each other.
Wow. And that's so powerful. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so when I have something that I need to bring before the Lord and I am listening for a certain answer, because I'm wired to, you know, I know what I want, but I just don't know if it's what God wants. I will send the exact same text to these three different people and say, can you pray with me? And I'm pretty specific. Like the asks can get really granular.
Yeah.
I have never not had it where they come back with differing answers because God cannot disagree with himself.
Nope. It's true. Especially where they don't know each other. I think that's so strong. You know,
Because when you're in relationship, people will start to want for you what you want for yourself is what, like that's, we want good things for each other and lots of good things sound fun. They sound on brand. They sound exciting. And we will pray differently in relationship with each other than we will with a specific assignment in the throne room.
Amen. Well, and I think too, like one of the things that goes with yeses and nos, whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And so in that perspective, I think it's so vital to look at what we're saying, like you said, what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to. And then the other thing is you have to be careful that there's no delayed obedience, because I think delayed obedience is disobedience. So figuring that out, like how do you work that out in your life?
So That is how I taught my children the word obedience, was delayed obedience. Obedience is an immediate yes. Now, discernment can take time, right? Yes. So the immediacy of it is usually relative to the assignment.
Yes.
And I think the other piece to keep in mind is if you share a home with a family, if you are not Paul, you know, able to make decisions in and of your own person because you're single, right, or not living in community with others, you're a little bit more nimble in your yeses. I would say that your yes will also never betray your family. Your yes will not betray the family of God. Your yes will not betray the community that you serve. They might not like it. Like, it might not be their favorite. Your yes might be deeply personal, but it will not injure or harm the kingdom.
That's good. Or your family.
Right.
You said, I think we say yes, because the other thing is whenever we say yes to something, we are saying no to our family a lot of times. And so that great book, did you ever read it? Choosing to Cheat with Andy Stanley. Have you read that book?
Yes. Yeah.
It's such a great perspective. Like, what do we, you know, because we've got our family there, our yeses could cause us to cheat on our family, not in the words that, you know, like we're actually cheating, but just in a time factor. And so I think that's so important. Man, today has been awesome. Thank you so much. Leaders, like, what are you saying yes to? And Christy, I want to have you on again because I think you have so much knowledge. You know, I think we could fill probably 5 hours worth of knowledge from where you're at. And so, but go and check out the website. Where do they find the platform again?
RaiseUpFaith.com.
Okay, RaiseUpFaith.com.
That's
and right. Man, will you just pray for our leaders today before we go off the podcast?
I would love to do that. Yeah. Jesus, we love you. We're here to serve you. We love your family.
Yes, Lord.
And so I just, I come before you with specific faces in mind of those who have committed to loving the littles in the kingdom so well. And then also the ones I don't know the faces of that are the broader Kidman community,
yes,
who work tirelessly and full of love and desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done in real time in church basements and Kidman wings all across the world. God, you see them and you love them and you honor them for stewarding their gifts towards inviting children into the kingdom.
Thank you, God.
We know that this is a heavy mantle to walk in the spiritually formative years of kids. And so by your Spirit, God, I ask that there would be a posture shift for the one who feels burdened today.
Yes, Lord.
That they would peel their shoulders back and lift their chin and see the kingdom on the horizon and say, Jesus, go with me, carry it. We know that you will pick up whatever we chuck at your feet and you will have your way with it. And so I ask that the heaviness of the burden that isn't for them would come off of them.
Yes.
And that the weight of the mantle would feel like a hug, that it would feel like covering, that it would feel like blessing. I ask for a capacity that doesn't feel like more work, but feels like an abundance and overflow of the goodness of the taste and see that leads us to share your goodness with the littles in a palpable way, that they would want more, that they would feast and crave the goodness of your salvation, Jesus. And finally, I would pray for those that are in discernment, those who feel like saying no when you have asked them to say yes, those whose yeses have not been honored in a way that they can yet see, that you would give them a glimpse of favor for the yeses that have been big steps of obedience, tiny words of obedience. God, would you honor them for their yeses? And would you honor them for their faithful no's as well?
Thank you, Jesus.
I ask you to do this because, well, we just get to be bold. We get to come to you and ask for big things, and we get to be real with you and say real things. You're not afraid of our prayers. You're not afraid of our requests. You're not afraid of our yeses or our noes.
Thank you,
and
God.
So as the one we walk in lockstep with, I just ask that you would lavish on the Kidman community as they prepare for Sundays week in and week out. Would they find great joy in saying yes to you? In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
Amen. Christy, thank you so much. Kidman Tribe, go and take on your week. God bless you. And we're always praying for you and cheering you on. Until next time, have a blessed week. Talk to you soon.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey, everyone. What is God calling you to say yes to? We've talked about it all during this Kidman Tribe podcast. I challenge you to run after that and say yes. Hey, will you do me a favor? Wherever you're watching today, whatever platform you're on, will you please subscribe? Give us a thumbs up. Give us a like. Let us know that you're watching. Give us some great comments. Will you share it with every Kidman leader that you know? Get the word out. Do me a favor. If you like the Kidman Tribe podcast, will you also leave a comment or review on your favorite podcast platform? You can find us also online at kidmantribe.com. That's where we keep all of the old editions of the podcast. And then every other week, we have a great, incredible blog that comes from kids ministry leaders around the country. There's some great Kidman swag there. Man, thank you for being a part of the Kidman Tribe podcast. We do this for you. And listen, if you have any questions or input on future Kidman Tribe podcast topics, I would love to hear from you. You can submit your ideas and questions to the Kidman Tribe mailbag by going to kidmantribe.com/mailbag. Hey, listen, one of the most difficult challenges we face in ministry is making sure that in the midst of our craziness, we keep our families a priority. Next week on the show, I have a very special guest who's an incredible mom. She's also a New York Times bestseller author and one of the busiest ladies I know. And 2 weeks on the show, I'm going to welcome Karen Kingsbury. Karen is just launching her fifth children's book, Being Baxters. She's also launching a new series called 1,000 Tomorrows on PureFlix. Karen Kingsbury is a number one New York Times bestselling novelist. She's America's favorite inspirational storyteller with more than 25 million copies of her award-winning books in print. Her last dozen titles have topped bestsellers, and many of her novels are under development with Hallmark Films and PureFlix and other major motion pictures. Her Baxter Family series are being developed into a TV series slated for major network viewing sometime in the next couple of years. Karen is also an adjunct professor of writing at Liberty University. In 2001, her and her husband Don adopted 3 boys from Haiti, doubling their family in a matter of months. Today, the couple has joined the ranks of empty nesters living in Tennessee near 5 of their adult children. Listen, she is a busy lady, and she's going to help us to know how to keep sane in that busyness. You're not going to want to miss it. Karen's going to challenge you and encourage you to keep your family number one priority while walking out the calling that God has given you. Listen, I want to just encourage you today. Whatever you're walking through, keep walking through it. Like, keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't give up and don't quit. What you're doing makes a difference for eternity. I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on. Love you so much. Keep going. We'll see you in 2 weeks on the Kidman Tribe podcast.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.